I hope you're being blessed this morning, and I hope we continue to be blessed by hearing the Word of God for us today, recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Today I've chosen to read from Eugene Peterson's The Message, which is a paraphrase, but the words that were in the NIV were so familiar that we might be able to hear them without really hearing them. And so I thought listening to Peterson's take on these words might be useful for us today. And one day he was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of the disciples said, "Master, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." So he said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil.'" And then he said, "Imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through has just showed up, and I don't have a thing on hand.' And the friend answers from his bed, 'Oh, don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't get up and give you anything.' But let me tell you that even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground knocking and waking up all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and give you whatever you need. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks you for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks you for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? Now, as bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him?" This ends our reading. You may be seated.
And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there is a certain pastor here in the area whom I shall not name, but he was out and about one day running some errands, driving around different parts of town in his car, and he had with him his little dog. The little dog just went with him a lot of different places. And anytime he had to go somewhere, the dog was with him in the car and often stay in the car when he went into the store, office, or doctor, or whatever it was. And so as he was going about doing these errands, he had to get to a certain part of town, which, like lots of parts of town around here, are kind of hilly. He had to park on one of these steep streets, you know. And when he got to the place where he was parking on this steep road, the dog was still in the back seat. And so he left the windows cracked a little bit, even though it was a cool, kind of mildly rainy day, like a lot of days around here. And he got out of the car, the dog's still inside, the window's cracked open, and then he closed the door and he shut it with his little beep beep little thing, and then he stood and he looked at the car and he held up his hand and he said, "Stay." The person on the other side of the street saw this. And they called over to the pastor, "Why don't you just try setting the parking brake?" Well, he was a little confused. A little confused. Now, today we're going to talk about prayer. And in the mind of an unbeliever, and sometimes even in our own minds, we can get a little confused about what it is we're doing when we pray. What is it for? What does it accomplish? Unless you understand what's going on in the unseen things, and outwardly it looks about as silly as someone who says stay to a parked car and expects it to listen. But to the believer, prayer is our connection to the most powerful, most reliable force in the universe, right? To God himself. Even Jesus, who himself is God, come in the flesh, he has all the power of the Trinity within him. Even Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father on multiple occasions for strength and for guidance and for wisdom and for who knows all the different things that Jesus probably brought to his Father in prayer. And the disciples noticed that. The disciples noticed Jesus taking multiple occasions to be off in prayer for long stretches of time. And they also knew that one of John's good friends, not a disciple, but his friend, one of Jesus' good friends, John the Baptizer, they knew that he had taught his followers to pray. And that was kind of radical, just a little bit different, because in many religions, in many times of history, it was not really thought, expected, that regular people go to pray. That's the job of the priest, the job of the rabbi. They are specially trained. They do it in a certain place at a certain time. They know what they're doing. But other people, they don't do it themselves. They rely on the priest or the rabbi to do it for them. And so when John teaches his disciples to pray themselves, that probably caught their attention. And so they say, Jesus, how about you? You're a rabbi. Why don't you teach us to pray too? And so Jesus agrees. He teaches them what we call the Lord's Prayer. You just heard in the reading today in Luke 11, Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. But you notice that while Jesus is intent on teaching them about prayer, he's intent on more than just simply teaching them things to pray, words to say. But perhaps more so, he seems to be intent on teaching them the attitude of prayer, the kind of mindset, the kind of heart set that he encourages us to use when we are engaging God in these holy conversations. So this morning, what I want us to do is take just a little bit of time to look at how Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Not just what, not just here are the words, there you did it, now you're done. But how? Because there are some important lessons that I'm sure that we can incorporate into our own prayer lives, whether it is praying the Lord's Prayer or whether it's simply our daily talking to God in the silence of our hearts, whether they arise out of intentional thinking or simply burdens that are on our hearts that threaten to crush us. So let's take a look at today's reading. Let's kind of unpack some of this and see what lessons we can learn. And to help us learn them and help us to remember them, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to condense it down to four smaller points and have one letter for each one and an acronym that spells out PRAY. That's why you see that on the bulletin cover. Now, there are a lot of acronyms for prayer out there. I realize that. I mean, you're familiar, I'm sure, with one or more of them. There's the ACTS. Acronym, A-C-T-S, right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. There's one. There's one also for pray that's going to be different than what mine is. Some of you know it as praise, repent, ask, yield. That's not what we're doing today. Because see, we're going in a little bit different direction. Those typically have to do with reminding us what are the components of prayer. What are some of the parts of prayer that we can and ought to perhaps use. But again, where we're going right now, what we're doing is we're looking at things that will help us think about the characteristics of prayer, the attitude to have. So not the parts of prayer, but the hearts of prayer. So let's start with P. P is for persist. Persist. Jesus teaches very clearly in today's reading that we should have a persistent attitude in our praying, to pray and to not give up. You know, that you find that throughout the Bible, right? You find multiple times where this is the ongoing task of the follower of God. You know, in the Old Testament, here's one example. This is 1 Chronicles 16. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. The New Testament, just one example, 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. So even if it may appear sometimes that God's not hearing, God's not responding, God's not something, we are to persist because our persistence shows that we truly believe that God not only hears our prayers, but will answer our prayers just as he promises to do. And so to make the point about this, Jesus tells a parable about a traveler who comes to a friend's home in the middle of the night, and also a third person, that friend's neighbor. Now, you have to understand, first of all, the concept of hospitality is paramount in the Middle East. In Jesus' day and still today, to not host someone, to not offer a beverage and something to eat when they visit, I mean, that's the worst insult that you could possibly do, especially after a long, long journey. But because this particular friend is out of food, he goes to the neighbor to ask for some bread. At midnight, we're told. Now, obviously, midnight is not a very convenient time to ask a personal favor, even if it is from a close friend. But in Bible times, you know, people traveled. It wasn't untypical for people to travel at night to avoid the heat of the day, as long as there was some moonlight to guide you on your way. So by the time the traveler shows up at the friend's house, it's late, the neighbor is already asleep. And also in those days, it was common for the whole family to be sleeping in the same room. Didn't have a room for everybody. And that meant that if the head of the household were to get up to start rummaging around for some food for his friend in the dark of night, well, everybody else would get up too. They would all be bothered by this. So initially he refuses, doesn't he? Finally, though, the man does get up. He gives his neighbor the bread that he asks for. And even though it's a bold, almost rude thing to do to wake him up, the friend persisted, confident that his neighbor will be understanding and give him what he needs. Now, I hope you get the point of comparison here. See, the point of comparison here is not with the neighbor. Jesus is not saying that God is like the man in the house who considers it a bother when we trouble him with all different kinds of requests day and night. That's not the point. The point is that we can be like that friend, that we can be so bold to bring our prayers to God, no matter what it is, no matter why, no matter how much, no matter when, because we know that we have a God who promises to hear our prayers, and far from being grumpy about it, quite the opposite, he's glad to give us what we need. So if a human is going to be grumpy about it, think how much God will react, how good he will be as we persist. And so the first prayer attitude that Jesus teaches is persistence. If other people respond to our persistence, even though they don't want to, how much more will God respond exactly because he is pleased with our persistence? So P is for persistence. R for us today is for remember. You know, one of the most important aspects of any prayer, whether it's formal or informal or whatever, is simply that it causes us to remember. Or at least Jesus is suggesting that it should. For example, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. That's how it begins, right? Father. Those words already cause us to remember. To remember that God is first and foremost, it's his desire first and foremost to have a relationship that is based on the idea of relationship of a father and their loving children. Not as a boss, not as a dictator, not as a jailer, but as a daddy. Remember that. And then comes, you know, the old wording, hallowed be thy name, holy be your name. Those words help us remember too. They help us remember that everything about God, including his name, is holy. It's sacred. It deserves our honor, our respect. And we could go through the whole Lord's Prayer like this if we had more time, but you get the idea, right? Our prayers help us remember that God loves us, not only by supplying us with physical needs, food, shelter, clothing, but also helps us remember that He is the one who forgives our sins. He sent Jesus to suffer and die in our place, so that instead of being faced with eternal death in hell, we get to look forward to eternal life in heaven. We can remember that with every prayer. You know, as a kid, speaking of remembering, you know, you played hide and seek as a kid. Did you ever have the person, there was always one kid in our games that would really hide so well that no one else could find him. And after a while of not finding this one kid, we would just kind of give up, right? Well, there may be times when we're tempted to think that God is hiding himself because we look and we look and somehow we don't feel like he's around. When Jesus was born into our world, it was though God was saying to us, "Here I am." It's like he was coming out of hiding. Through Jesus, God says to us, "This is me." Right? You thought I was hiding because you were looking for me to be seated on a royal throne when in fact my throne is a cross. You looked for me to come riding to the rescue on some great stallion, but I have come to you humble, riding on a donkey. Here I am. And then Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." That's why R is for remember. Remember that because of Jesus, we can talk to God as a child talks to their loving father. So P for persistence, R is for remember. A is simply for ask. Now that's an obvious one, right? Ask, Jesus says, and it will be given to you. Whatever's on your heart, ask for it. Don't be hesitant. You know, in various kinds of relations in day-to-day life, sometimes our pride or our fear gets in the way, doesn't it? Gets in the way of asking for help. I mean, wives, how many times has your husband actually stopped to ask for directions, right? Thank goodness, guys, now there's GPS on our phone. Don't ever have to do that asking again. But that should never be the case with God, right? That the pride, the fear doesn't ever have to come between us and seeking God's help or seeking his wisdom or his will. Ask. When I think about this part, the asking of prayer, it makes me think of one of my favorite prayer stories. It's been around for a while. Maybe I've told this one to you before, but even so, it's worth the risk of retelling it. So it seems there was this young boy, little boy, 3 or 4 years old, I guess he was, and he was an only child. One day he came to his parents, he came to his dad, he said, "Daddy, all my other friends at preschool, they all have other brothers and sisters that they always are talking about, that they get to play with and do things with. I would like to have a little brother or sister too." And dad decided that he could use this as a teaching opportunity as he tried to raise his child in faithfulness to God. And so to teach about the importance of prayer, he said to his son, "Well, I tell you what, son, if you really do want a baby brother or sister, pray about it. Pray about it every night when you go to bed. Ask God, and I'll bet you in 2 months, you'll have a baby brother or sister." Now, what dad knew, but what he had not explained to the little boy, was that mom was already 7 months along. So in 2 months, God willing, she was going to be providing a little baby brother or sister. But the little boy went to this task with great earnestness. Every night at bedtime, kneeled and in his prayers asked God for this baby brother or sister. 2 months, though, that's a long time when you're that young. And so he only got about a month into this and just it kind of petered out. Nevertheless, mom gave birth right on time anyway. But to everybody's surprise, it was twins. Now, Dad still wanted to make a point. And so after they brought the twins home from the hospital, and they were oohing and aahing over them, and Big Brother was getting to know them, Dad said, "Now, you see how good God is. You see how good he is that he answered your prayers, even though you only prayed for like half of the time." And the son said, "Yeah, Dad, but you know what? Aren't you glad I stopped when I did?" You see, ask. Ask. Why? Because God doesn't answer our prayers with curses. If we ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. Ask, and you'll receive. Is there someone that you're praying for? Is there someone that you desperately want to come to faith, or maybe to return to the faith? Is there, in other words, a neighbor, a friend, or family member who is in need of spiritual bread? Ask. Even if the clock is chiming midnight, ask. Ask with confidence. Which brings us to why. See, if the P is for persistence, and if the R is for remember, and if the A is for ask, the why has to be for yes. Simply yes. Just like we just mentioned, Jesus tells us to ask and to ask with confidence, because then what happens? Ask and you will what? Receive. In other words, we can be sure that God says yes to our prayers. Yes, here's what you're praying for. Or sometimes it's, yes, this is not what you prayed for, but trust me, this will be even better. Either way, God says, I promise you, yes. No matter what we are praying about, God says yes in one way, shape, or form. Either yes, this is what you need, or yes, this is even better. As we prayed in Jesus' name, he promises we receive. In fact, that's exactly what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no, but in Jesus Christ, it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. See, God doesn't answer our prayers with maybe, maybe not, but always yes. And because God answers yes in one way, shape, or form, we can be confident knowing and being daring and being absolutely audacious in our praying. Sometimes, well, actually, a lot of the time, I'm sure I'm not daring enough, not audacious in my prayers enough. Don't have enough chutzpah, to use a Yiddish word. You know, think back to the episode in the book of Genesis. You know that episode where Abraham is bargaining with God for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember that? And how he's bargaining with God. God, if there are at least 40 righteous people in the city, you won't destroy them, will you? No, I won't for 40. And then he goes down to 30 and 20 and finally 10. You know, it took a lot of daring. It took a lot of chutzpah for Abraham to do that. And you notice that never once does God get upset with Abraham for asking. Never once in that whole conversation does God ever say, "How dare you? What is this insolence of yours?" Doesn't scold him, doesn't berate him. In fact, you could say that there was only one problem. You know, the problem was, the only problem was that actually maybe Abraham was not audacious enough. He didn't whittle down God to, well, what about just one righteous person? Why didn't he go that far? I don't know. Maybe he didn't think God would go that far. Maybe he didn't think God has that much mercy. But he does. You see, that's why God doesn't destroy every city in the world, including our own, the way he did Sodom and Gomorrah. It was for the sake of the one righteous man. Not for 50, not for 20, not for 10, only one, the only truly righteous man who dwells among us, Jesus. So have some audacity when you pray. Don't stop short, because no matter how many promises, no matter how many promises God has made, they are, yes, in Jesus. Prayer is the audacity of a friend pounding on your door at midnight, waking up wife and kids and dogs and everything else in order to simply borrow bread because he had an unexpected visitor come from out of town and his cupboard is bare. I tell you, Jesus says, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, because of that man's audacity, he will give him as much as he needs. See, only someone whose sins are forgiven, paid for by Jesus' death and resurrection, someone who trusts in Christ and not in himself or herself, can have that kind of chutzpah before God. See, when you come to realize that you are in God's graces, not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done for you, then you can dare to bang on God's door at midnight and all day long and all night long. Prayer in the way of Jesus, the way Jesus teaches prayer, is not whining, whimpering, sniveling. It's not weak. It's not uncertain. It's bold. It is direct. It is strong because it is grounded in something strong. It is grounded in the certainty of Jesus' death and resurrection, based on his word, fueled by his spirit. Pray. You don't have to wait for the doors of heaven to slide open automatically like at the grocery store. Bang on them. You have the God-given right to do so because God's Son died on a cross for you. He is your credential. Your baptism is your calling card. Use it. Storm the gates of heaven with your prayers. They will be open to you just as God opens his very heart to you. Pray, P-R-A-Y. Pray with persistence and don't give up. Pray remembering that God is both almighty but also your loving Father. Pray with asking for whatever is on your heart and whoever is on your heart, without fear, without shame, because God promised to listen, and pray confident that the answer in Jesus Christ is always yes. Whether it's a yes with what you're actually wanting or a yes with something even better, whether we realize it or not at the time. So at this point, as you're able to, I invite you to stand as we go to God in this time of prayer, a prayer in which we are also being audacious, praying for the most valuable thing, the most undeserved thing of all, and that's the forgiveness of God. Lord, teach us to pray. Not just pray the right words, but pray the right characteristics and with the right attitude that pleases you. Right hearts, right minds, right spirit. Not because our eternal salvation is in doubt otherwise, but exactly because our salvation is not in doubt. You have defeated sin and death and the devil. So we can know with complete confidence that we are yours forevermore. And we need this, Lord. We need this because we realize that too often we become captivated by the world's vain philosophies and empty deceits. We have embraced human traditions over your will and our meager thoughts over your supreme wisdom. And so, Lord, don't only teach us to pray, but teach us to live in the ways that please you, that show you honor, that display our gratitude that you alone deserve. Forgive us, renew us, lead us, so that we will always delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.